Stalnecker?
Good morning
to you.
May it please the court, my name is John Stalnecker, representing the appellants Michelle and Michael Lucheski. This case is before this court to review the entry of two orders of the trial court. The first barring the Lucheski from engaging in discovery regarding the question of interstate commerce, and the second compelling arbitration of the Lucheski's claims pursuant to an arbitration clause contained in a real estate purchase agreement. It is the Lucheski's position that their claims are not encompassed within the language of the arbitration provision, and that even if they are encompassed within that language, the clause is not enforceable, does not comply with the Nebraska Uniform Arbitration Act. The causes of action do not affect interstate commerce such that the Federal Arbitration Act would preempt that. The facts that the Lucheski's claim are relevant to this case are that Charter West Bank owned a certain piece of real estate which was located in Nebraska. Lucheski's, at the time residents of Nebraska, met with a representative of Charter West Bank to inquire about purchasing the real estate. The meeting took place at the property in Nebraska, and the Lucheski's alleged at that time the Charter West Bank representative represented that it was selling the real estate free and clear of all liens. Based upon those representations, the Lucheski's purchased the property, anticipating that it would be free and clear of all liens. However, when they purchased it, property was subject to an existing deed of trust held by Wells Fargo, contrary to those representations. The complaint that the Lucheskis filed against Charter West sought recovery through the theories of fraudulent misrepresentation, negligent misrepresentation, common law fraud, and unjust enrichment. None of those four causes of action is raised about the purchase agreement or the warranty. The facts that are relevant to those causes of action are the statements made by whom, to whom, what was the result.
Counsel, doesn't this case really come down to whether this is interstate commerce or not?
I believe that's one of the two main questions, but that is probably the most likely question.
And your opposing counsel in his brief cites the Aramark case that this court decided and for the proposition that Congress has given expansive power over economic and commercial activities. Given that language this court's set forth in the past, do you think Aramark's controlling here, or do you think it can be distinguished?
Well, I think that it can be distinguished to a certain extent. While the Aramark case does state that Congress has given broad powers over commercial transactions, it doesn't go so far to say that every single commercial transaction impacts interstate commerce. I would argue that if the position of this court were to be that there's not a single monetary transaction that does not substantially affect interstate commerce, this court is certainly well positioned to make that statement clearly. That statement has not been, I don't believe, in the Aramark case or in any other.
It's not been widely here, Kevin.
I do not believe that statement has been made specifically in the Aramark case or in any other.
Do you think it applies to the single sale of residential real estate?
I do not believe so.
And why not?
Because I do not believe that a single sale of real estate that's contained in one state between parties in the same state is interstate commerce. In fact, Charter West Bank is cited to a case from Minnesota, which obviously is not binding on this court, or it's the Badnais case, for the proposition, and I believe that that's the only case cited by either party dealing with real estate, if I'm not mistaken.
Does that case really deal with real estate? Wasn't that a county treasurer that filed a lawsuit against the Federal Home Mortgage Corporation and over an exemption? So it wasn't even an arbitration case, was it?
You read my mind. I was just going to point out that was actually a case over whether Congress had the authority to create Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And the court's holding was that because real estate sales can have some impact on interstate commerce, the federal government can regulate it by creating those two entities. I would distinguish that case from this case, where it's a sale of one single home by an entity which, yes, is a federally chartered bank. However, from what I can tell, only has a physical presence in Nebraska, to residents of Nebraska. And the statements were made in Nebraska. And I would further distinguish all of, I would distinguish that case and your question about whether real estate is an interstate commerce transaction, distinguish that from what we're talking about here. I would bring it back to Wachowski's position that their causes of action are not about necessarily a real estate transaction. They're about what they allege is a false, misleading statement. And
well, you didn't take a warranty deed, did you?
They did take one, yes, sir.
They did get a warranty
deed? They did get a warranty deed. And
that
raises
another... What did the deed warrant?
I'm sorry?
What did the deed warrant?
The warranty deed warranted, among other things, that the sellers were transferring possession of the property, the title of the property, subject to any encumbrances of right.
That sounds like a quitclaim deed.
I guess I would have to go back.
And they didn't warrant that they had free and clear title to the property?
Well, they did. Free and clear title subject to any encumbrances or liens.
It wasn't sort of, a special.
That's sort of like the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away conveyance.
It wasn't a special warranty deed.
I do not believe so.
Okay.
Well, I'm curious. You also, the mortgagee in both instances was Wells Fargo.
That's
Wells
correct.
Fargo held an existing mortgage and also gave, or you gave them an existing, or the client gave them a mortgage again to finance the property?
That's correct.
And at no time did anybody know that that mortgage was there and unreleased?
Well, I think that that would be a really good question for Wells Fargo. but they are not a party to this case. And frankly, while that may be an issue that should be addressed at some point, okay. That is not an right. issue in this case.
Right.
Respectfully, I think that this case is limited. And it really deals with the allegedly false statements made by the representative of Charter West.
So your position is that the residential real estate is not in interstate commerce?
Well, I think that we would take that position, yes, but I would also circle back to the argument that I don't think this is a case about necessarily real estate. It's a question about a fraudulent statement.
Well, I understand, but if the question is which arbitration place are you going to have your hearing in federal Arbitration Act or Nebraska's arbitration?
Well, and that's is the argument that we're making, is that in order to figure out if the causes of action that are being brought are have a substantial effect on interstate commerce, you have to look at the actual causes of action. Causes of action in this case, in order to prove those causes
well,
of action...
You just have two. You have a bank that's clearly in interstate commerce. The question is, does that make this an interstate commerce question?
I would think that that would be an important question to ask. And also, one of the assignments of error that we have is that the Wachowskis were barred from doing any discovery of any meaning in this case. And if one of the important questions is, what is the actual status of Charter West, and does it have any physical presence anywhere outside of the state of Nebraska, the Wachowskis were barred from attempting to elicit any information regarding
that question. What relief were you seeking?
With respect to that specific order, we had...
As to any of the claims, any and all of the claims?
Monetary damages. We have, the Wachowskis did not ask for rescission of any agreement. They did not ask for enforcement or bring a case for breach of contract under the purchase agreement. In fact,
so that's advanced to bolster your argument that this isn't really about a transfer of real estate.
That would be our position. It's a purely monetary.
You don't want to unwind this.
That's correct. We're not okay. trying to unwind it. In fact, given the existence and acceptance of the deed, the purchase agreement is merged. Doctrine of merger, I don't believe that the Wachowskis can bring an action to enforce the purchase agreement because they've got the deed. If there are no other questions, I would ask that this court overrule and reverse the two orders entered by the trial court and remand this case for proceedings, litigation of the trial court.
Thank you very much. Mr. Silver, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice. May it please the court, Jeffrey Silver on behalf of Charter West National Bank. The cause of action that Wachowskis have are absolutely based on the purchase agreement. If you look at their complaint, they have paragraphs 13, 21, 27, 30, and 32, all all reference specifically claims against Charter West that are premised on representations that supposedly were made in the purchase agreement. Purchase agreement, which was a CBS real estate purchase agreement, not written by either of the parties, specifically says any controversy or claim between the parties to this Nebraska purchase agreement, its interpretation, its enforcement, or its breach, including but not limited to claims arising from tort, shall be decided by binding arbitration.
Counsel, in your brief, you point out that the American Association or American Arbitration Association Rule 7A allows the arbitrator to decide whether a contract, a provision, or the dispute is subject to arbitration. However, in their reply brief, they point out that you're actually under the real estate industry arbitration rules, which do not have a 7A. Is that correct?
That's correct, but notwithstanding that, if you go back to the arbitration agreement itself and the purchase agreement, I think that's a delegation clause that delegates the question of whether or not something is arbitrable or not to the arbitrator and not to the court. And in any event, I don't think that makes a difference in this case because Judge Bowie, who I think got this case absolutely right, decided the whole matter should be sent to arbitration. So whether or not the commercial rules say it's for the arbitrator or not the arbitrator to decide whether or not the issue is arbitrable, Judge Bowie decided that issue. He sent the entire matter to arbitration. So from our perspective, we're in arbitration, but you say we're not.
Is there a question as to which act controls, which arbitration act controls?
I'm sorry?
Is there a question as to which arbitration act controls, the federal or the state?
From our perspective, there's no question because based on the Aramark case, the Nebraska Uniform Arbitration Act has been superseded or preempted by the FAA.
Okay, but the purchase agreement doesn't specifically designate that the FAA will be the arbitration act followed.
It does not. It talks about...
Your basis is that because it's in interstate commerce, then FAA trumps Nebraska's arbitration.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
Counsel, in reference to Judge Wright's question, you don't dispute that the notice provision doesn't meet Nebraska law if, hypothetically, we would find this to be intrastate commerce, correct?
That's correct. If you find that this is not an interstate commerce and that the Nebraska Uniform Arbitration Act applies, the appropriate language is not contained in the purchase agreement, so that would not be enforceable.
Okay.
We concede that.
The other thing is, I noticed that you don't cite any cases that deal with single sale of residential real estate. Are there any cases out there that have found a single sale residential real estate is interstate commerce?
We could not find a case that says that, but tangentially, if you take a look at, and I think the best example from that is the Citizens Bank case, the Supreme Court case that we talk about, which talks about that and even if an individual transaction had no substantial effect on interstate commerce, as long as the economic activity of the aggregate did so. So I think a single sale of real estate, and we identified in our brief the various components that we have title insurance, you had Wells Fargo, you had various transactions all occurring in interstate commerce. And the other fact that I think is significant is Charter West National Bank is a national bank, and that's contained in the complaint filed by the Wachowskis. And as a national bank, it's regulated by the Comptroller of the Currency. So we do have federal regulation of the entity involved here. So
that Citizens case, refresh my memory, what was the, was that, did that involve a commercial activity or what was that?
I'm sorry?
Refresh my memory on that Citizens case you cite. Was that a commercial activity?
Yes.
Okay.
The reason that it was significant is it was completely intrastate. It was involving an Alabama transaction strictly between Alabama residents or citizens with respect to a transaction that was wholly intrastate. And the Supreme Court, the Alabama Supreme Court, indicated that it would not consist of interstate commerce or didn't affect interstate commerce. And the Supreme Court reversed, saying absolutely any commercial activity, and I think that's their language, any commercial activity has an impact on interstate commerce. And here we have And that was a single commercial activity. It wasn't a, I acknowledge it wasn't a sale of a house, but it was a single transaction between citizens of Alabama, entirely within the state of Alabama. And the Supreme Court said, if it's economic activity because there was involved, it was a commercial transaction that involved, obviously, people from only from Alabama, and it found that that was absolutely affecting interstate commerce so that it was within the purview of the Commerce Clause.
Is that consistent with the, I don't know how to pronounce it, Sinelli case, the Kentucky federal court, where I think they said you need a contract evidencing a transaction involving commerce. So not focusing on the players, but the transaction.
Yes, yes.
Different pigeonhole.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think it's important to know that there wasn't a single case cited by the Wilczewskis involving any economic activity, any case that did not find that it was subject to the Commerce Clause. And the whole national purview of Congress here is to favor arbitration. And the cases are pretty clear that if there's any doubt, as Moses Cohn said in their Supreme Court decision, if there's any doubt about whether or not there should be arbitration, it should be resolved in favor of arbitration.
But that's an answer to a different question. I'm trying to
okay.
focus on how important is the character of the parties as distinguished from the character of the transaction, the subject matter of the transaction.
I don't think that makes a difference. In other words, if it's between commercial players doing a significant commercial transaction as opposed to here we have individuals purchasing a piece of property from the bank, I don't think...
The underlying transaction involves the sale of a residential real estate.
Right. In and of itself,
is that an interstate event?
I think as long as the transaction involves or affects interstate commerce, I don't think the nature of the players is as important as the contract that gives rise to the claim whether or not there's arbitration. Am I missing?
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, for example, when you said, well, the bank is subject to federal regulation,
right.
So then that we would say, well, that sniffs of interstate commerce.
Right.
But I'm saying, does the transaction itself, without regard to the description of the parties, can you tell from this transaction alone that it affects or involves interstate commerce?
Yes, because if you look at the purchase agreement, it has multiple items in there. There is compliance with the Patriot Act. If Charter West National Bank was not a national bank and was simply a state bank, our position would be identical.
Why would it now be different if Charter West was a state bank and not a national bank?
I'm sorry.
Why would it be different if Charter West was a state bank instead?
No, my comment was it wouldn't be different.
Whether or not
Charter West was a state bank or whether it was a national bank doesn't make a difference. The transaction still would impact and affect interstate commerce. The fact that Charter West is a national bank.
What were the other things in the purchase agreement that affected interstate commerce other than the nature and character of the parties?
Well, if you look at the purchase agreement, there are... We identify them in our brief. You have title insurance. You have checks that were sent to close this transaction over the wire, by wire transfer. There was compliance with the U.S. Patriot Act. All of it, there were like 15 or 20 items that were identified in the purchase agreement, one of only which would have been enough, I think, to get you to affecting interstate commerce.
Because they do interstate things.
Sorry?
Because they do interstate things.
Yes.
Okay,
they
like a wire transfer. So if you have a single residential parcel and it's a cash deal just between private parties and a misrepresentation is alleged.
Yes.
Would that be interstate? But they have a little contract that says we're going to arbitrate it if this thing blows up.
Absolutely.
Would that be interstate?
If you had a contract between private parties and without bank financing, and
right.
we had an arbitration agreement, there was a breach of that, I would think that you could, that economic activity would be sufficient to get you to impact interstate commerce. I think Judge Connolly said it best in his Aramont case. It's difficult to imagine an economic or commercial activity that would be outside the scope of the Commerce Clause and by extension the FAA. I just can't imagine. Our time's up.
But, you know, in a hot market, you might have a cash transaction.
Before you sit down, does the record tell us whether your client, although chartered federally, actually has any interstate activities? Does the record tell us that? I mean, in the old days, before branch banking, there were dozens, hundreds of national banks that had a single location that had no interstate activities whatsoever. Does the record tell us what the situation is here?
I believe it does. If you look at the affidavit of Steve Davis, he indicated that there were conversations and discussions between representatives of Charter West National Bank and senior management who were located in Arizona with respect to whether or not this transaction was going to go forward or not.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
Yes, 42 seconds.
42 seconds, Mr. Stahlnacher. We'll give you a whole minute.
I will be brief.
You think you need some discovery to answer this?
Well, you know, the court here gets to an interesting question that there's a difference between is the imperative inquiry the nature of what's being complained of, or the nature, I guess, or status of the parties. If the court believes that the status of the parties and whether they are diverse in citizenship or residency or domiciliary, then I do believe that discovery as to that question would be important. I don't know that the affidavit of Mr. Davis that Mr. Silver just referenced is in the record today. I think it would be important to find out if Charter West has any branches outside of Nebraska. I think it would be important to find out if they have any, you know, even if they don't have a branch, do they have employees that work outside of Nebraska? We don't know the answer to that question.
But you know that the mortgagees have interstate commerce activity. You know that the mortgagees do have interstate commerce activities. That's
absolutely.
Wells Fargo and...
Wells Fargo a party?
Wells Fargo is not a party. And to your point, you are absolutely correct. And if the existence of a bank financing this transaction or title insurance insuring the transaction or, you know, a trustee as cited in the order and in the brief being located in Montana, the title insurance company headquartered in Missouri, if those factors to this court are relevant, then we have a really hard argument to make. But I would bring it back to, if that's the argument, and based upon what counsel said, it sounds to me like they're arguing any transaction involving federal currency is interstate commerce.
Because of wire transfers?
Right, and because it's a commercial transaction. I mean, I just don't...
Don't they also argue that the purchase agreement itself creates an interstate commerce activity?
I think that they argue that the purchase agreement and the things surrounding what was necessary to consummate the transaction does. But again, the Wilcheskis argue that none of those things that they cite in their brief or that Judge Bowie cited in the order regarding title insurance or the funding, none of those factors or facts have any bearing on Wilcheskis proving the elements of the causes of action they've raised in there. Not a single one. And based upon that, the Wilcheskis would argue that this is not an interstate commerce case as of the trial court.
Thank you very much. The next case of the day is State v. Cyrus H. Pantaris. Mr. Bishop, good morning to you.
Morning, Chief Justice. Aaron Bishop, appearing on behalf of the appellant, Cyrus Pantaris.